Blog Talk Radio.
Well, the eagles been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's history, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure too, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything is in between them is our home. And we may have done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. 'Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool. You were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you 7 nights a week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older, and the treatment of adults, in other words, from pediatric to geriatric. She's also an all-time triathlete, and she can help you break through. When you get hit that wall and you just can't get to that next level that you want to get to, give her a call. She'll be able to help you out. She's done it herself many, many times. her office is located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue, Brandon, Florida. And you can get her at area code 813-689-2466. And the program is tonight. We have the lovely and vivacious Ty and Zito and myself. Tonight we're going to be joined by the up-and-coming heavyweight title holder, Mr. Danny Batchelder, and the up-and-coming young pugilist from the Wilmington, Delaware area, Joey Tabiri. So, guys, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. Good to be here with you guys and everyone else this week. Zito, how you doing, my buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here with you guys. Likewise.
I just want you guys to know that I don't want you to worry about me with this heat wave that we've had down here. I've got enough adult beverages and suntan lotion. I think I can make it through.
You say that to me here, and with pretty mild weather, I would say in the 30s, drinking coffee at 6 o'clock in the evening. So kudos to you there, Butch.
Yeah, I got to call everybody up north this week and tell them the same thing. But, you know, the doors are always open. But, so, guys, it was kind of a fun week this week. We have a Pacquiao Bradley update. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. They were in the beloved city of Philadelphia. They both had their picture taken at the Rocky statue at the art museum. But that fight is going to take place on April 12th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the tickets are on sale. It's also a HBO pay-per-view, and it'll start at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Before I even speak on the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, and forgive me, Zito, but I have to speak on the Rocky statue. Great statue. It was an awesome prop for the movie. And could someone tell me where is Joe Frazier's statue? Still waiting for that one, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, that is, as I understand it, is still being held up. It was held up by Mayor Nutter on the guise that there wasn't enough cash in the account for the Parks and Recreation. So those people in Philadelphia, Joe Frazier does need a statue of him. And Joe Frazier is a real fighter. Let's remember, he was a real fighter.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone made it look good. It was a movie. So let's get behind that movement.
You know, kudos to Sylvester Stallone for bringing Philadelphia boxing to the light on a cinematic level. He obviously was rewarded with being in the Hall of Fame. If there were no statue of Rocky, the character, then to me there wouldn't be so much outrage from me personally that there's no Joe Frazier statue. I still would think, you know, hey, we got to do something to really recognize Joe Frazier, but you have a statue of Rocky and not have one of Joe Frazier, to me, is beyond sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I completely agree with you.
And you know what? Pretty soon, Bernard Hopkins will be able to make that same
that
same statement, although we don't know when he's going to retire. But 5 years after he does, he'll be right in the Hall of Fame. So.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, you can't, how could you vote against something like that? I mean, the sports writers are just waiting for that. Yeah. And,
so
and
I'm sorry
Bernard,
to segue us from Pacquiao Bradley, but I had to mention that about Joe Frazier.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, David Price is going to go back in the ring on March 8th. Can you believe that?
I think that's smart for David Price to stay active. He took some time off after his knockout loss to Tony Thompson. He's a young guy. He's still developing, and I think for him, the more experience, the better. I don't necessarily believe it was experience that cost him against Tony Thompson, but he has some flaws that he could definitely work on and improve his game. So I think it's smart for a young developing fighter to be in the ring, you know, as often as possible, as physically possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, with David Price, it's all about level of competition. Right now, he's come off of two defeats, two knockout losses against Tony Thompson. And I hate to disagree with you on my end, but I think it was experience that cost him in both fights, especially the second fight. Where, you know, Tony got knocked down and then he was able to weather the storm, and his experience brought him to where David Price couldn't weather his storm. But
thought it was just more his flaws. He has developed. That was too big a step for him, and I think fighting him on a regular basis against competition that he can not competition he can blow out of there in one round like he did with his last opponent, but competition where he can develop his skill set. He's very formidable physically, And he has some good offensive tools. He still, you know, has significant lapses defensively, which definitely cost him in the first fight with Thompson. I could I can concur with you with the experience in the second fight because he looked like he kind of punched himself out. So I hope that's an experience thing and not just one of these guys that just doesn't have great stamina. So that'll be something to watch going forward, too.
Yeah.
We know
and you're right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Z. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you're right. David Price needs to develop his skills. He needs a few fights. But
yeah.
I also, after maybe three or four, you know, fights that are very winnable fights, I would like to see him step in his competition up a bit.
Oh, definitely.
I wouldn't like to see him against a Malik Scott, anybody of a boxing caliber.
It's funny that you say Malik Scott because, you know, we got Malik Scott fighting Deontay Wilder. It's basically been stated that the winner of Stavern Areola is going to have to fight Wilder if he beats Malik Scott. If Malik Scott were to lose, you know, in a pretty competitive fight to Wilder or whatever, Malik Scott, to me, would be a good opponent for a David Price, particularly because he has some skills that would challenge David Price. Not now, obviously, after David Price builds his confidence, you know, maybe later down the road. But as far as stepping back into that class, I think Malik Scott Zito would be perfect because he doesn't possess a tremendous punch.
Yet, I mean, David Price, his defensive flaws would be majorly apparent with Malik Scott, I think.
Exactly.
So that might not be the fight, you know, getting touched on is getting touched on.
Mm-hmm.
But
at the same time, it could be the fight where physically, you know what I mean, if he has his confidence back, his offense could be, you know, he's capable offensively of overwhelming a Malik Scott. Then again, you know what, Malik Scott, he kind of got walked through by Chisora. The stoppage was definitely early. All of a sudden, England is kind of known for these early stoppages. But with that being said, the jury to me is still somewhat out because he could have weathered the storm and went on out box Chisora. So the jury is still somewhat out. Let's see how he fares against Deontay Wilder. And all of a sudden, maybe we could be talking about, well, Deontay Wilder needs to fight a David Price. You never know how these things happen in heavyweight division.
Well, you know, he must be worried about it, too, because he's changed his trainer, and he's now in camp with Tommy Brooks, who flew over from, I believe it's the Dallas area, to Liverpool this week to start a four-week training camp with him.
You know, Tommy Brooks has a pretty good track record of working with, you know, some of the best in the biz, as well as heavyweights. He worked with Evander Holyfield at one time. So, you know what? To be honest with you, on a guy of David Price's level, with his type of talent, attributes, and his amateur pedigree, he's a guy who's going to be able to get a quality trainer. His problem to me wasn't necessarily his trainer, unless he felt it just wasn't a good fit. And maybe his trainer was the one who was, you know, stunning his development. But he fought Tony Thompson 15 fights in. And before that, he had really just fought domestic competition on a European circuit. So that, to me, more than anything, was just too big a step up. He's not Tyson Fury. And that's just what it is. Tyson Fury, he kind of, you know, started picking up skills pretty quickly. But even more than that, Tyson Fury is just gutter tough, and he's a fighter. And David Price is not that. You know what I mean? He could turn around and be a Vladimir Klitschko. There's nothing wrong with that, obviously.
Right.
But he's not the guy you throw in at the deep end of the pool too early, you know what I mean, before he gets out that shower. He's the guy that you let warm up a little bit, let develop his skills. Let him really develop his defensive skills. Learn to box at range, because I think Zito would agree with me that he falls in a lot, which is part of the reason why I thought he got knocked out the first time against Thompson.
With his hands down.
I'm going to give you one thing to
you guys. With his hands down, yeah.
I'm going to give you something to talk about while I go out and get Danny on here. Amir Khan this week shot his mouth off to the I'm really talking some trash. Saying,
Why would
Mayweather ever consider putting Maidana in the mix? Slow hands, slow feet. The only thing he brings to the table is power. I'm going to let you guys explain that to our listeners, while I go off and get Danny.
Well, Zito, I got to tell you this, because what's funny about this story, and first of all, to preface it, obviously everyone felt that he was definitely going the Amir Khan route and that Maidana was going to fight Broner in a rematch. Well, it just so happens that Floyd put out on his Instagram a picture of Madonna and Khan and said, I'm going to let the fans, you know, choose my next opponent. Obviously, Madonna takes the lead at this point. He's a hot fighter. Khan is not at the time. So Khan comes out, tweets what Butch said, but he also tweets that, you know, the only question people question me about is my chin. He goes, now I'm at 147. I'm more stern. I can take a good shot. He goes, I spar daily with Alfredo Angulo and Andre Ward. These guys have like 25 pounds on me, and they catch me with good shots, and I stand up to their punches well and not go down. So, you know, I'm more durable than people think, especially at 147. And Andre Ward came out a little later and said, yeah, didn't hear the comments, but we've never been in a ring together. So obviously, Khan is really probably sweating bullets that Floyd will actually go with the fans and choose Madonna at this point in time. Here's what I believe. I believe Floyd wouldn't take that fight from Adrian Broner if Adrian Broner wants that fight. Number two, I remember Floyd kind of did the same thing before he fought Guerrero with Devin Alexander, and that was really never a consideration. So what do you think, Z?
It's a money ploy.
Yeah.
Floyd doesn't do anything for sporting purposes at this point. He's all about money. And if his fans pick it, they're the ones who pay. So,
and you know what? And it's funny because the thing is that the more attractive deal, in a sense, is thought to be Khan because he would bring the UK pay-per-view. Floyd didn't get a cut of the UK pay-per-view against Hatton. Believe it or not, in that fight, Hatton, because of the UK pay-per-view, ended up making more money than Floyd. So I know Floyd is like, we fight, I'm getting that UK pay-per-view cut. However, obviously, if significantly more fans are saying, we want to see you fight Madonna, then he has to be thinking, well, that's the pay-per-view numbers right there in the microcosm.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
remember, Floyd lost $10 million last weekend.
Yeah, on the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it's a smart business ploy, but, I mean, for sporting purposes, I mean, I would think that Khan would offer him a better matchup, to be honest.
I agree. Right. Styles make fights.
Yeah.
But with him, it comes down to dollars and cents. And in a sense, I guess what you kind of alluded to is, I guess, the question I ask. Izzy, do you think, in a sense, using the Instagram, his little Instagram poll, as maybe a sample size, a survey of how his numbers could be if he goes one way or the other? You think that, or you think he's just trying to throw everybody a curve?
He's not throwing anybody a curve. What he's doing is smart business practice. He's actually seeing his dollars before
okay.
it's being processed.
So you think he's using it as a sample size in a sense?
Yeah, as a sense to where, you know, how many people are going to vote? You know, you see
right.
how many people exactly are going to vote, and then. You know, the people who voted to see Khan, they're not exactly going to turn their heads away from Floyd and Madonna either.
Right.
So,
and if you get a vote that's something like, you know, 40,000 for Madonna and like 8,000 for Khan, then it becomes like, oh, okay, wow, you know?
Yeah. But
so,
then
yeah,
you start getting in the range of those, you know, maybe 100,000 numbers or something, some real pay-per-view type thing,
mm-hmm.
just on
mm-hmm.
Instagram type, then... Now you're saying you're making that money, and that's smart.
You know, also with the Pacquiao Bradley fight coming up, and that not projected to do significantly well. It could, but not projected to at the moment. You know, he could be again kind of gauging to see what he can do, especially in regards to. Outperforming Pacquiao because we all know he still has Pacquiao on the brain.
Well, Pacquiao's mystique has been cracked by Marquez to a certain extent, so people
right.
aren't gonna, you know, they're, you know, and then a Timothy
but
Bradley.
He hasn't had a stoppage in 4 years as well.
Yeah, and a Timothy Bradley and Pacquiao fight again, you know, the people
right.
are turned off by that. Not to mention. A Timothy Bradley fight without Pacquiao, people are turned off by for some reason.
Right. Timothy Bradley he's become a solid B-side of a good promotion for the most part. And what Timothy Bradley doesn't bring that a Marquez brought was that Mexican fan base. So that automatically is going to exclude some of the pay-per-views. The fight has been witnessed before. You know, people didn't agree with the decision, but nobody thought it was an exhilarating fight either. You know, it's funny because the guy who wins in this particular scenario is definitely, well, Tim Bradley, from a financial standpoint, he's going to receive a career-high $6 million payday, but also Bob Arum, because, you know, I could very well see the fight being a tighter fight than last time, and, you know, it may be going disputedly to Pacquiao, and then all of a sudden we have the trilogy that nobody wanted to see. So, you know, you got to give Bob Arum his credit for being able to line pockets of his family. So,
and with all that being said, these two guys have already started to talk trash.
Yeah.
I mean, Pacquiao was on Oberman, and he said that he wanted to, you know, knock Tim Bradley out because, you know, and Tim Bradley was talking about, you know, Pacquiao, he was, you know, he had something to prove because he thought that he won the first fight, which most people
He also believes, he said, that he thinks Pacquiao's loss is killeristic. And Manny Pacquiao said, I'm glad he told me that face-to-face, which impressed me because Bradley even told him to his face, I think you lost your killer instinct. And Manny Pacquiao said, I'm out to prove him wrong. So whether that type of promotion, you know, a somewhat acrimonious promotion, which is not necessarily the case with these two fighters, but if you get an acrimonious promotion to a certain extent, could that drive up the buy rate? Definitely, definitely. But how acrimonious can these two be towards each other? I don't, you know. You'll get some.
Hey guys, you know, we've got Dave Tiberi and Champs Sports is putting on a tremendous show down at the Dover Downs on the 27th. And we have one of their premier boxers on with us, Mr. Joe Tiberi.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
So Joe, you got a big fight coming up.
Boxer in America.
Most That's
candid
right.
Candid boxer in America. Favorite boxer to talk to. One of my favorites.
Me?
Yep.
Oh, stop. Yeah, you're candid, man. We love that. We love that.
Yeah. So, Joe, tell us what you've been doing since the last time we spoke to you.
Staying busy. I kind of been working, going to school, doing all that good stuff, and then been trying to get some dates lined up so we could stay busy. You know, I'm going to be 28 this year, so I'm getting up there. I'm trying to, you know, going on my fourth year turning pro, being pro. So I'm just trying to, you know, keep a pretty busy schedule and stay active as much as possible and, you know, taking one fight at a time as we get the dates and just, you know, going from there.
Uh-huh. And you had a couple fights up in Pennsylvania, didn't you?
It's been a while. I mean, lately we've been locally. We've been staying around, like, Dover. Last couple fights have been in Dover. They've all been pretty much in Delaware lately.
Okay, but didn't you do in the month of September, didn't you do two fights in one month?
Yeah, we doubled up. We went to the beginning of the month, we went to the University of Delaware, and then at the end of the month we were at Dover. So they
right.
actually kept us pretty busy that month, and then, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that was the end of that month was the last, that's the last fight of the year, last year that I had.
Hey, Joe, this is Vito.
What are you doing?
I'm good. You been getting any sparring in lately?
Yeah, I've been mixing it up with a couple guys locally. I'm actually I'm going down to Philly tomorrow to get up with Victor Vasquez. I really like sparring him. He's had over 25 fights, and he's been in the ring with everybody, and we get really good work out of each other. So I really like going down there and getting up with him when I can.
Man,
hey, Joe, this is Ty. First of all, only a professional athlete could sit on the phone with us and say, yeah, I'm 28, I'm kind of getting up there, because it only makes sense in that context. Well, with that being said, and you've been, you know, staying a little bit more busy. I know you had a little scar tissue. Has that been healing up pretty well? And also
it actually healed up really well. It's
good.
The last time I had a headgear in it, like had like a little strand in it, and that actually was the last time it opened up during the sparring session. Actually, it was in, I think, September, and I was getting ready for that fight at the Bob. It opened up again, and after that, it's been fine, sealed up. Everything's good.
Good, good. And conditioning-wise, what's your weight at, and how close are you to being ready? If you got a call, I know you have the fight coming up. How close are you to being on fight weight, I should ask?
Fight weight, I'm a couple pounds over right now, but I'm not really worried about it. I weighed 140 yesterday, and I could come in at 136. I usually fight at 135, 136. So.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about that. That's, weight's usually never really an issue.
Condition-wise,
I feel really good.
You're going to spend $10 million on the next Super Bowl, are you?
What's that?
So with all the money you're making in boxing now, you're not going to put $10 million up on the next Super Bowl, are you, on the loser?
Nah, the Broncos already took enough of my money this year, so I'm going to have to wait for you.
Man. So tell us about the guy you're about to meet. Have you looked at any film on it or anything?
Well, he's got two hands and a chin, and it's the first time I'm fighting him, so... I'm not underestimating him. He's been in the ring. He knows what he got to do. I know what I got to do, and I know his name, and that's all I need to know.
Good. And, again, you're the undercard for the new Ray Robinson. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Good. Who else from your organization is going to be in that?
Cornelius Locke's on there, and... they had a couple other local guys, a couple guys from all over Dover, Wilmington, Newark. They had guys all up and down on the card. I'm not sure exactly who's on there, but they had guys all over. But those are two title fights on the card.
Yeah. And this is going to be is this your first six, or is this a move up fight or what?
Yeah, this is actually a step up for me. It's my first six. So I'm pretty excited about that because I was honestly getting tired of fighting four rounds and. I told the promotions that I wasn't going to fight another four-rounder because, like I said, I'm going to be 28 this year, and it's going to be my 13th fight, and I haven't really been getting moved up like I feel I should for all the time and effort I'm putting in. I mean, training for strength and conditioning trainers and just giving up all the time and dedication and being in the gym and just living that lifestyle, and I'm just turning around fighting another four-round fight. It wasn't worth it to me.
Sure.
And I remember, Joey, one of the times you were on the show, I asked you about that. I asked you if you felt stamina-wise you could go more than four. And you were kind of not so subtly complaining in that you were ready. You know, you were ready that you understood it was a learning process. But from a stamina standpoint, you were definitely ready. Now that you are actually going six, I know your conditioning is not a concern. What about game plan? Does it change your game plan at all going six as opposed to four?
Yeah, I mean, just off top of my head, I mean, there's two more rounds. You know, you got to be more patient. Like, I've been watching a lot of fights lately and just seeing how these guys that are fighting 12 rounds, how they really, like, pace themselves out. And different times I'm going to different gyms and sparring. Instead of just getting in there and just going all crazy and mixing it up and just brawling it out, you know, I'm more patient with my shots. And I set them up and I'm working. And then, when you get inside and you got to do your damage there. So, I mean... mentally, I have a different game plan, but I just, I get myself in that condition to where, if I have to pick it up, I can pick it up, and when I need to slow it down and be patient, I can, all around, you got to be ready for everything. So as far as not being able to do it and just being able to spar over six, eight, ten rounds, whatever you do, I can only go really off of that.
And so more or less, boxing is definitely a game of subtleties. With that being said, do you think this the subtle change to your game plan, just a subtle change, do you think it will enhance you, make you a better overall fighter in a sense?
Honestly, it's going to be hard to really say that because I haven't done it yet. Because my game plan, my game plan is not really, I don't really have like a set game plan. It always ends up changing in the middle of the fight anyway just because that's the first round is usually when you adjust to them. But sometimes, like in my earlier fights, I liked really pressuring them and really putting it on in the first round because, mostly everybody says just lay back and feel each other out. Well, how many times do you do that and if somebody jumps on you and they hit you with a shot, you're not going to have time to really feel them out. So if I can, I try to get back onto that because that just catches them off guard. And if you hurt them, you jump on them, you finish them, then you ain't got to worry about nothing.
Now, Joe, tell me how relaxed you've become from the beginning of your career up until now?
Well, just more precise with my punches, throwing punches that are actually going to mean something and do something and actually affect them instead of just throwing to throw them. So there's actually more intentions on sitting on my punches and working my way in, and if I slip a punch, come back with something. So it's always it's more like a cat and mouse game, but just more accurate and more. I guess I keep saying patient, but that's really the only word I could put in there.
Yeah, Joe, you say you're going to Philly tomorrow to spar. When how many rounds would you will you go with him?
As many as we can go. I'm driving an hour out there, so I'm not.
Right.
I got to make sure the drive is worth it. So.
Sure. And when you when will you start backing down so that you have rest before the fight?
I honestly like sparring. I spar usually up till the week of the fight. Like we're fighting on a Friday, so I'll probably cut off maybe Wednesday at the latest. I like feeling sharp. I feel like if I take off too much time, I might lose a step. So I like working my way up. I mean, I don't overly do it and spar 4 or 5 times a week. I pace it all out and work on my technique and make sure my condition's right. So I always, with working 2 jobs and going to school, I have to put in, when I go to the gym or whatever I do, I have to go 100% every time I do whatever I'm doing to train. So I just kind of space it all out and just make sure everything's on the same page.
But that way you make sure you're sharp going into the fight, though.
Right, correct. Yeah, I feel really good when I do that. I mean, even if it's not heavy sparring, just slipping punches and throwing punches and just going the rounds and just keeping my hands up and just working on stuff. I mean,
were you still sparring that close to the fight with the scar tissue you were dealing with at the time, or did you ease back at that time?
Well, that time was that was a bad time because we were only about like 2 weeks away from the fight when that happened. So when that happened, I had to call off sparring, which was kind of bad because that fight really that fight shouldn't have went the distance, and I fought that kid's fight and. You know, it wasn't one of my best performances, and it sucked because I ended up selling almost 250 tickets to it was in my hometown, so I had all these people that never came to a fight, and that was the first fight they came to, and just not having that sparring for 2 weeks, you could tell. I mean, at least I could tell.
You really felt the difference. Was it more so a sharpness thing?
Yeah. I was late. I just wasn't on my timing was off.
Yeah,
I wasn't fighting my fight.
Yeah.
And you know, where now once you move up to you get this next win in here, where do you want to go from there with your career?
I'm just trying to stay busy, get a fight in March, April, just keep it moving, staying busy. I don't like starting back over training, you know, a couple times, you know, usually I would go out afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't even want to do that whole part of it. I want to commit and just be dedicated to stay into it. It's just, you know, if there's going to be a reward for it, I just, you know, I do everything on my end. I just need everybody else that makes my fights to keep me busy, so.
You know, we had Ray on just very recently, and he was talking about the same thing. Just he realizes that, you know, he's kind of like you in this athletic prime. And kind of like you, he's you know, even though you only have 13 fights, you're still kind of like a young veteran in the game, even though you're only going 6. You've been, you know, raised and reared around the game, so you know so much about it. You're like a young veteran, kind of the way I think Ray is. And both of you guys at this point in your life have said, you know what, I just want to give it my all. For you, at 28, do you plan on staying around 135? Do you want to move up to 140 with, you know, weight class? For you, especially at this point where you're really stepping on the gas, you think offers you the best opportunities and the best chance for you to be competitive?
I feel big for my weight, so as long as I could stay with this weight and not have any issues, I'll stay at 35. If I could get down to 32, I'd get down to 32, but, I mean, I feel like I would be a small 140, so I would really try to avoid that. I just like staying where I'm comfortable at, and I'm fine with 35. I don't have to really – I might walk around at 45 when I'm, you know, not training, so –
Now, could the amount of rounds possibly affect what weight you would fight at?
I guess we have to wait and see. You know, it's hard to really, you know, I haven't even fought the 6 yet, so I mean, it's hard to just sparring it and actually, like, fighting it, I'm sure is going to be a lot different, especially, you know what I mean, just the whole atmosphere of it. So once we get this first 6 out of the way, if it goes the distance, goes this. If it doesn't, you know. But once we actually go the full six, whenever that is, I'll be able to answer that then.
You know, and all you guys know too that guy or plenty of guys walking around 145 who fight at like 126 at featherweight. Nonito Donaire was a guy like that. So with you fighting at 135 or 140, you know, with you walking around 145, only going down to 135, it shouldn't have an effect on your stamina, I would imagine, which is probably why you felt so comfortable being ready to go six from a, you know, from a stamina perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good. Like, I don't feel dropping the weight because, you know, the more you train, the harder you run, the longer the runs get, and the more sprints you do, your weight's going to drop either which way. So I feel like it's, I mean, and I've been working out really hard, so I mean, the weight's, you know, I'm honestly not really eating too good. I mean, I'm eating late.
That was my next question. How's your diet? How is your diet?
Sad to say, I usually wait till it gets in. It's like 3 weeks to start watching it. Bad as that sounds, but it's for the most part, it's not too good. It's not too bad. But like I said, when it gets closer to the fight, then we crunch down, we focus on it, eat right stuff, and eat the right time.
Even with you not, you know, dieting or really significantly watching what you eat outside of those 3 weeks, your weight still only goes up to like 145?
Yeah, I could never gain weight.
So the moment you start dieting, it's cool for you because then that means the moment you start dieting, with you training, your weight, you never have a problem making weight, and you'll always probably have pretty good stamina for a while. That's good stuff.
Yeah, as long as I don't. I mean, my loss, and I don't like to make excuses for anything, but, like, my loss, I was still green to everything, and I was just eating later. Towards the fight, it was coming up, and I was eating later, and I ate, like, the night before the weigh-in, and, you know, just, you know, and that's what happened. That's the consequence from that. Came in overweight, had to lose the weight the same day of the fight, and that'll never happen again. So I learned my lesson.
I think the main question Ty's asking is, on your way through Philadelphia tomorrow, you're going to stop for a Philly cheesesteak?
Afterwards.
There you go. If you see the Geico Gecko doing the Sundance there, let me know, the moonwalk.
I will.
Okay. Guys, got any more? Anything else for Joe? Okay. Joe, we wish you, we're behind you 150%. There's no doubt about that. We know that you're going to do well, and we wish you well. And especially moving up the extra two, rounds. We sincerely hope that those gloves don't get too heavy at the last minute of the bout, and that you just when we next time we talk to you, you'll have another win behind you.
Correct.
Way to put that in his mind psychologically, Butch.
Right.
You have a minute left. Butch said something about these gloves getting heavy. Damn it, Butch.
Go away a minute now. I'm trying to give the man some encouragement here. I didn't say a damn thing about the great buffet they have there to get people to come watch it.
Wow.
Oh, there you go with the buffet
again.
But you know what? Just because it's scheduled six doesn't mean Joey's going to let it go six.
Yeah, I don't like talking like that, but I'm not ready. I got to come back to getting some knockouts. Honestly, so.
There you go.
Well, you know, one thing you said is you're more patient and you're really placing your punches better. And what a lot of people don't know is that is one of the biggest reasons for knockouts, just being able to place a good punch better. Slipping and coming back, a lot of times guys don't see that. That's how you catch guys. To me, one of the big reasons why Tim Bradley doesn't get a lot of knockouts, and Edna Cherry said he doesn't hit hard, but I think, you know, he just is not a sharp fighter. He's more of a blunt, you know, kind of puncher. So I think what you've been saying as far as the enhancements to your style, I think are going to lead you to more knockouts. So I wish you the best with it. Definitely.
Appreciate it.
And hopefully we can get down there to Dover and check you out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that the guys get there and be at the ringside. So when you hear the two of them yelling, there'll be three of us. If I can get up there, I'll be up there also.
Okay, that sounds great.
Well, Joe, thanks a million for coming on with us. We always enjoy talking to you. You always are probably one of the clearest talking and the sharpest mind of the young guys that we talk to. And we appreciate everything that you do for us and everything you do for the community and bringing back that Tiberian name to the boxing world. It really makes us proud.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love talking to you guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honest Joe. That's Honest Joe Tiberi, the most candid man in boxing.
There you go. There you go. Got a new moniker now.
Yeah, it works. I can work with that.
Okay, Joe. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you guys.
Appreciate it. Hey, well, we had that was a fantastic interview with Joey Tiberi from a long name of the Tiberi boxing family. His dad is his Uncle Dave. His Uncle Nick is, of course, the promoter. Again, that fight is on the 27th. It's down at the Dover Downs Casino. Tickets are available through Champ Sports, Champs Boxing, and also at the Dover Downs. So if you're going in that area and you want to enjoy a good night, go out and see these guys, watch these guys fight. They're tremendous kids and they're tremendous workers.
You know what I love about Honest Joe Tiberi, the most candid man in boxing, is the fact that we have tons of boxers on the show, and they're all great guys and gentlemen. And I wish, you know, everyone could tune into the show to see the remarkable characters and, you know, the integrity that these warriors have. With that said, what I like about Joe is he is just the most candid guy in assessing his own career. You know, mm-hmm. we get guys on here, and you'll say, hey, you know, are you going to – how do you think you'll do after six rounds? I'll be fine. You know, and they really mean that. And Joe's quick to say, I don't know. I haven't did it yet.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, Joe, who would you want to fight next? Joe said, man, I'm fighting four rounders. I'm not calling anybody out. I love that in that kid, man. I love that. A guy like that you can only wish the best for.
Sure, sure. Well, Danny, I did try to get a hold of Danny earlier. His phone had died, so I called him on another alternate number, and he was recharging his phone to get on with us. So I'll go off now and get him. Do you guys want to talk about
I think
about
actually
the,
Danny's actually probably calling in London trying to set up the David Price match because he thought what
he
Tito said about Malik Scott was a great idea, and he was like, hey, I can throw my name in the hat
no,
right
Danny
quick.
Is.
Get a nice payday in London. I'm getting some wins. Time to get paid.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Adamic is starting to finally went into camp getting ready for his Guzlov fight. What do you think about that one?
Well, you know, that's going to be an interesting fight. Adamic on name value could be the favorite. But what's interesting now is with Vitaly Klitschko vacating that belt, it really opens the door in a sense, and we have at least for that belt kind of an open heavyweight division. So it does add a little excitement to it. And so now all of a sudden the Demick fight is kind of a box off, right? And same thing with Malik Scott and Deontay Wilder. Even though Malik Scott came off a loss, if he were to upset Deontay Wilder and do it in spectacular fashion, it would definitely push his name up the charts. All of a sudden Tony Thompson again, name obviously would be, you know, definitely considered a contender for this vacated belt. And it could be like that, but I do expect Vladimir Klitschko eventually to try and go collect what was once his brother's.
And he's going to have to fight Gauntlet to do it, which should be sort of interesting. Bernemis Devon and Ariola, who's also on the mix. I mean, it does.
Well, they're actually fighting for the. They're actually the ones fighting for the vacated belt, and supposedly the winner between Wilder and Scott has next. That is what has been reported. So it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out, Zita.
Yeah, and also a guy that me and you look that we kind of like, Brian Jennings.
Brian Jennings also. His name has been coming up. And, you know, what's being said about Brian Jennings is he's probably a one, you know, he still hasn't defeated necessarily a top 10 contender, but he's in that point where he has to take one of these guys on, and his name will be right there alongside of the other names as well. But, again, what top 10 contender has Deontay Wilder defeated? You know what I mean? Ariola has never defeated a top 10 contender. So a lot of it has to do with who's promoting whom. And Brian Jennings is not promoted by Golden Boy or any of the major players. But just on recognition and what he's earning, and NBC Sports and has been a boon for him because he's had a lot of appearances there, and that's where he's, you know, built his reputation to where finally HBO got a piece.
Right. Hey, guys, we're joined by the new Danny Batchelder. Danny, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, good. Danny, how's it going?
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going along pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you got a big fight coming up here on the 1st of March.
Yep, March 1st, we're fighting again, and so I'm just busy kind of preparing for that, getting ready for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I'm doing.
Uh-huh. And
what you doing to prepare yourself, Danny?
You know how it is. You know, I just started sparring today. I got some sparring today. Got good 8 rounds in, felt good. Got a new strength and conditioning coach up here too. I started with, and he's made a tremendous difference in my gas tank and just my overall strength. I'm very glad to add him to the team with us. And things are going along, you know, pretty good right now. You know, it's real good. You know, I'm happy with how things are. I'm happy in where I'm at and the condition I'm in right now and stuff. So looking forward to it.
Great. Again, that's at the Evangelina Downs Casino in Appaloosa, Louisiana, right?
Yeah. That's a good place. I like the cards they put on there.
Good.
What kind of crowds are you guys drawing down there? You guys getting pretty good crowds down there in Louisiana?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that Boxing Card Promotions with Chad Broussard, I mean, they pack the place. They really do. They pack it. They're real good boxing fans. You know what I mean? The people enjoy the fights and enjoy all the fighters. And man, let me tell you, I just got to say this real quick. I seen something down there I never seen in my life. And if you had done it in any other place, like New York or California or something like that, they probably would have tried to bring you up on charges for it because it ruffles somebody's feathers. Before the last fight down there, listen to this, guys. They put a passer in the ring, right, for all fights. And everyone in the whole place bowed their head and said a prayer for the safety of the fighters and that the fights would be good. Like that. Man, it was so nice to see something like that down there. It just blew me away. Blew me away when I seen that. Because, you know how people are nowadays, you know? Like,
right.
You know, they want to, don't shove religion down my throat. You know, stupid like that. But man, it was so impressive to see that down there. It was a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. That is a whole different world down there, and they do have a lot of respect for people, for the sport, and for their – and it is in the part of the Bible Belt, but who gives a damn? You know, if the guy's going to get in there
– I just like that they – I like, too, that they just – you know, they're really there for the fight, and they have a good time at the fight. You know, it's good to see crowds like that. And, and you know, man, they pack the place. The place is, man, sometimes standing room only in there.
Nice. Have you become the hometown favorite now?
Now I'm finally they're finally asking for me now, and you know, Chad says when he goes around, people are asking I'm going to be there and stuff now. So I mean, that feels good. You know, I make sure I try to talk to all of them that I can after the fights, and they're starting to really like me down there now. So that makes me happy because you know what I mean. The reason I'm in there probably is to put on a show, you know, and that tells me that I'm doing a good job because I don't want to be one of them fighters that. You know, people are always lackluster, don't care how the fight looks. You know, I like to try to make a fight as good for everyone as it can be, you know.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean we can now call you Dixie Danny Batchelder?
that'd be a funny name, wouldn't it?
Dixie Dan.
Come out with a big straw hat on.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that would kill you would be the accent. As soon as you started talking, talking, they'd be like, oh, God, never mind.
I can't get that accent down.
Now, come on, guys. Let's not pick on the man. The man is the one who had was it very friendly with Melissa Milano. More than either one of us have.
Yes.
So the accent works for somebody.
That's probably the best claim to fame I got so far.
Any claim to fame we have.
Can you tell us anything
about your next opponent?
Oh yeah, I'm fighting a guy named Jonte Willis. He just fought that Katif Leoti there on ESPN a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Um, he can box. You know, he's a good fighter. He's actually really good in the amateurs. You know, he's a national champion. And
Right, yeah.
You know, in the pros, it just kind of looked like he didn't have the right people guide him. Because, I mean, he's fought some tough guys, and he goes to the distance. He goes rounds. You know, he fights these guys. Like, with that kid, Katif, we always see a lot of people say, oh, Katif didn't look that good. Well, you know, he had a guy in front of him that was actually boxing and kind of, you know, giving him some angles. So you can't really always look at somebody's record, especially in a case like this. So, and, you know, I don't know what it is about me, but I know every time I fight somebody, they come at their absolute best. So, you know, I'm expecting a good fight, you know, and that's why, you know, I've stepped up what I'm doing too, because, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, handle them the way I want to handle them. But, you know, I'm expecting this to be a good little fight.
How many rounds are you guys fighting this one at?
This is 8.
Five down.
Good.
So,
and you're who's the undercard for you? Is there anyone we would know?
I don't know. That Mason Menard is the main event. Mason's a good little fighter. He's fighting a real good guy too. I forget the name of the guy he's fighting, but I think the guy had fought Pacquiao. I think he's a good fighter. Yeah, big record too. That'll be a great fight with Mason. I always like watching Mason fight too. Mason's a good fighter, boy. Puts on a good show, comes, you know, he brings it. He comes in great shape, and man, he really goes to fight. I like watching Mason fight. His will be a great fight. I can't wait to see his fight either down there.
Yeah, how are you preparing for this fight?
You know, like I said, we got a new strength and conditioning coach, so I'm really working on I'm gonna probably drop a few pounds for this fight too. I'm trying just to get as fast and as strong as I possibly can. I want to pick my speed up a little bit. I want to pick my boxing up a little bit because, you know, that's basically the best weapon to have against a lot of these heavyweights is movement and boxing. So, I'm just concentrating on right now making me the best me I can be for that night. And, that's going to be me moving, boxing angles, you know. So, you know, we're just doing lots of high reps, lots of hard work, a little bit of rest, only a little bit of rest. So we're pushing it hard because after this fight, Chad is possibly going to be doing a big show this summer down at the Cajun Dome, and I look to maybe get an actual name or somewhat of a name down there, maybe May, June. So after this, we'll probably be back up to 10 rounders, maybe. So I'm planning on this being a big year for me. By the end of this year, I want to get a hold of somebody that is somebody, you know.
Could you tell us a little bit about some of the exercises, some of the work that your strength and conditioning coach has you doing and how it's benefited you and how you noticed it in the ring?
Well, he switches it up. You know, it's not your typical, you don't just do four sets of benching or three sets of squats or, he supersets a lot of things. You have to go from one to the other very fast and everything's explosive and you get no rest in between. And, a superset for him is, 5 or 6 different exercises, and that's round one. And then in between rounds, you only get 20 seconds rest, and then you have to go through them again. We complete 3 rounds, and then we go from there to cardio. Then we're on the cardio doing sprints. We do sprints. In between every sprint, we got to get off and do burpees in between the sprint. So it's very, they're pushing me at a very high rate, So you can
they make you do burpees in between the sprints?
Yeah, it's like you sprint for 2 minutes.
Yeah, then you do a burpee.
Yeah, then you got to do 20 burpees, then you go back.
Enough said. Just doing sprints and 20 burpees is a workout, period.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
jeez. Yeah, that burpees get you, especially by the time you've been doing them for 20 minutes.
Wow, 20 burpees between sprints? Jesus.
And if I'm correct, the guy you're fighting, he likes to use his legs a lot. He uses his jab, and if there's a guy you more likely going to have to make encounter you.
That's the one thing about Jante, because Jante can box and he does that. So, we're going to have to go get him, So I'm just making sure I'm going to have all the gas I need to go get him,
With your workout, obviously conditioning is not going to be an issue. Weight's not going to be an issue. What about as far as your in-ring attributes? Do you feel quicker, lighter on your feet, more agility? How do you feel in the ring, and how has it helped you in the ring?
Yeah, and that's another thing my trainer's been working on. A lot of we've been doing a lot of agility with speed ladders and things like that, moving the feet.
Ah, yes.
Side to side lateral movement. And you know, I really feel, you know, saying the other day, I said, man, I said, you know, God willing, knock on wood, everything keeps going the way it goes. You know, I think I feel the best I felt in probably the last 5 years. You know, I really feel they've done right this camp, and we've been training right and doing right. And you know, my diet's been phenomenal, and I just, you know, I'm excited, you know, because I'm so excited. And, I know I can get one of these guys. And I just, you know, I want my shot this year, and hopefully by the end of the year, you know, I can get in there with one of the names that are out there.
Well, this is a big step up.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, I'm excited. I like it.
With the weather being as bad as it is up there in the New York area, and everybody should know that you're in the upstate Adirondack-type area, you're not getting any road work in. Are you just doing treadmill and bike?
Well,
he's doing sprints and 20 burpees, Butch. Sprints and 20 burpees.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we use a treadmill, but like for the sprints on a treadmill, we incline the treadmill very high, and you know that helps you push around. And then there's other harness exercises we're doing where we're pulling. They're pulling while I'm pulling, and you know, like they had me do these different like mountain type climbers where there's a little band attached to me, but I got to be pulling that at all times, so they pull me back. And it's just, you know, so we're getting the work. We're getting everything we need to get, because you're right. We've had some brutal cold this winter. I mean, for a couple weeks there, it stayed like 20 below zero. And so, I mean, it's been cold, and there's a lot of snow. So, but, you know, I'm not worried because I'm getting all I need to get.
Sure. And, you know, honestly, science right now leans towards more high-intensity training as being more beneficial for combat sports. Whether it's true or not, obviously old-school trainers believe in the long, long runs, but science at this point is leaning more towards the HIIT training. So
when I fought James Toney, I had a trainer that believed in that, and all I did for the James Toney fight was stadiums and 50-yard sprints. That's all I did for the James Toney fight, and I was in phenomenal shape. I went that 10 rounds like nothing, and I also did that for a couple other fights, and because you know the sprint, especially you know you sprint. It gets you ready for that, blah, 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 you know, when you got to rip off them shots, you know what I mean? And it makes you explosive.
And that's precisely why they believe it's more beneficial. They believe it makes you more explosive. And it's more, you know, it's more in line with like Danny was saying, with how a fight takes place. You don't, jogging is really moderated. You know, and again, I'm not against long road work. I think it's beneficial to the cardio. But from a performance standpoint, the high-intensity training more is in line with exactly how you fight. You fight in bursts. And so I think you definitely feel more explosive with that type of training.
Oh, for sure you do. You do. And it gives you confidence, too, because you know that, you know, when you're working at such a high rate, because you don't know how the fight's going to go. You don't know if you're going to come out and get in a war right off the bat or if it's going to take a round or two. But if you do get right in that war off the bat or you start fast, you know you can go fast. You know you can keep the pedal on the gas and keep going. So that helps with your confidence a lot too.
Great. Hey, how about now we have an up and coming Mr. Batchelder that is also a fighter. Can you update us
man,
on his
Frank,
his performances?
He's mad at me. That's what he is. He's mad at me because he was supposed to fight. And he came down with the crew, so I pulled him out of the fight because, you know, I'm not going to let my kid get in there if he ain't 100%, you know what I mean? I mean, if I don't want to get in there 100%, why would I put my kid in there? So he was very, very upset with me. But they got another fight next month for him, and we're going to put him on that card. But, yeah, he didn't want to talk to me for a couple of days over that one.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, that'd be very tough for a guy to be in there, especially when he can't breathe.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, listen, man, I said, you know, you got to listen to me on this one. I know more about this than you, but, you know, he's a little know-it-all. He thinks he can do anything, so.
Yeah, we have a sign in the office, hire kids when they're teenagers, when they know everything, because when they get to be 21, they become stupid.
Yeah. That's about it. But he's a hard-headed little guy, but he's over it now.
Uh-huh. So Dan, when Chad tells you you're going to move into this this bigger arena and bigger bigger area, that'll be when, did you say again?
He's looking at May or June.
Excellent. And that'll still be in the Louisiana area.
And that'll be right in Lafayette.
Yeah, the Cajun Dome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
the Cajun Dome.
Yeah. I love Lafayette, boy. That city down there, man. I don't want to leave it whenever I go there.
Well, you lived down there for a while, didn't you?
No. Never lived down there.
Didn't you live in Lafayette, but in New Orleans?
No. I visited there. I never lived there.
He just ate there frequently.
I don't think I'd make out while living there. Yeah, that place might be a little too much for me.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
But
again, you're fighting on March 1st. At the
March
1st,
yeah.
Again, is it the Evangelina Down Casino in Appaloosa, Louisiana?
Yeah.
And tickets we can get tickets where?
Our boxingcardpromotions.com, Chad Broussard, anywhere, Chad Broussard has them, and you go to his website there, Boxing Card Promotions, and, anywhere up there on the numbers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, Dan, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and like I said to Chad,
man, you guys
you again.
Hey, that's all cash, man. Is everybody doing good? Everybody getting along good?
Yes, sir.
Yes, everything's well. Thank you.
Yep. And
you guys are great people. I always got to make sure about you guys. You guys are great people, man.
Like I said to Chad, I'm telling you again for probably the 30th time, I've never heard you so clear, so directed, and so enthused about the game coming back. And I am really, we are, especially the family, Casey, Frankie, Bobby would be, he'd be over my house saying, come on, we got to drive, got to go.
Well, you know what I think, I got something to say about that. I'm very blessed to have come out of that dark place I'd went to for a while, because boy, I was gone. And
right.
I'm very blessed to have this opportunity. And to get hooked up with a guy like Chad Broussard, he's one of the most honest men I've met, let alone in boxing. So, and he's really someone that has your back and that is a true friend and human being. And, I've thought about this probably 4 or 5 times now. Mm-hmm. I've actually looked up a couple times and said, thanks, Bob, because I know Bob's up there pulling for me. Yeah. So, when I quit, I was done. I was off for 2 years, and I had no even urge to come back. I was mad at boxing. I didn't want anything to do with it. And, I ran to the right guy, and I got that feeling back, and I've laughed about it a couple of times. I said, man, Bob's right up there saying, oh, no, you ain't done yet. I'm taking it very seriously, and, I ain't letting anybody down.
Good. Yep. Well, you never did, Dan. It's like the old prayer where man looks up and says, God, I looked at the footsteps in the sand. There's four, and then there's only two. Why did you leave me? He says, I never left you. I carried you, son. And that was probably during that time.
That's it.
You're always welcome on here. We can't wait to call you again and talk about your new win and find out when everything is ready and who the next opponent's going to be. So. We wish you all the best of luck and really appreciate your time you give us every time we call and the updates that you give us, and really appreciate it.
Man, guys, God bless you all. Thank you for all the time you give me speaking and all that. I really appreciate it. And looking forward to talking to you guys all soon, real soon.
Okay, now, just so our friends know that Danny is fighting on March 1st, Evangelina Downs Casino at Appaloosa. And it's boxing.com, boxingcard.com, or Chad
Boxing Car, BOXN Car, Boxing Car.
Hi, Dan. Thanks a million.
Hey.
Thanks, Dan.
How's it going?
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Oh,
good
man.
Luck,
hey,
Dan.
No problem, man. thank all you guys, man. You guys do a great show, man. I love it.
Thanks,
well, thank you. We appreciate you. And, again, here we go. Dan is the most visited boxer that we have on our list of boxers. So you're still number one in our hit list.
And I like having that. That makes me feel good. I like that one.
Hey,
there you go.
Now, if just somehow we can all get together one of these days, we'll really be in business.
Won't that be a good one? That'll be a good one.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be.
That's what we got to somehow hook up here, sooner or later.
Sure. Sounds good.
All right, absolutely.
That's been a tremendous show. I mean, we had, on the 27th at Dover Downs, Joey Tabiri will be fighting. The new Sugar Ray Robinson will be fighting. And another full card by Champ Sports of Wilmington, Delaware. And they'll be at the Dover Downs Arena. And if you're coming down, you're getting tickets, make sure you look for the two guys in the distinctive shirts that I still have to send up to you. They'll be there with big smiles and you'll know it's them because when Ray comes down the aisle, they're going to hear yell out, The New! And don't forget, Danny Batchel is fighting March 1st down in the Evangelina Downs Casino in Appaloosa. Did I say that right? Yeah. Louisiana.
Yep, Appaloosa.
Yep. So we appreciate everybody listening in tonight. We went over a few minutes, but that's fine. Ty, you want to lead us out?
I just want to thank Joe Ty Berry, the most honest man in boxing, candid show that is, as well as our good friend Dixie Dan Batchelder. It's been a great show. Hour went by very quickly. Bob is our co-pilot, and Dixie Dan's as well.
Okay.
Thank you, fellas.
Z?
Definitely want to thank you guys. I want to thank Joe Tiberi, and I want to thank Danny Batchelder. Want to wish both men good luck in their upcoming fights. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Okay, I want to thank, of course, my co-host. Could never do it without both of you guys. And, again, appreciate everything you do each and every week for us. I want to thank Joey for coming on and Champ Sports for providing them. I want to just thank Chad Broussard for helping us with Danny Batchelder. And I want to thank Danny, of course. Danny's almost family. I forgot to tell him something. I'll have to call him. But I also want to remind everybody that these shows are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women in Police and Fire Services. We also have been notified that we are now part of the USO worldwide programming. We're notified of that this week, and the men and women that go through there on your way home or your way out to serve the country, we really appreciate everything you do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, whether it's police, fire, or military, please introduce your children to them. Tell them they are the good guys. They're the ones who are running in when we're running away. We also dedicate these programs to fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some point we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord.
Till that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his name.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezahir ma, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem.
Thank you.